I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I have a couple ugly things I need to get out of the way first. First is Chris. I'm kidding, Chris. It was a joke. That's funny. No, I have a couple ugly bits of news I need to get out of the way before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, because it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. One, Chris has a little cut of Kamala Harris. Sometimes when I hear this woman speak, I'm reminded there's a very good chance she's going to be president at some point in time in the next 2 years. I mean, you think Biden is embarrassing, and he obviously is. This person is probably going to sit in the Oval Office.
Today, the business of our work is for the council to report on the work that has occurred since our last meeting across these areas. We will today also discuss the work yet ahead, the work we must still do to continue to move forward.
What does any of that word salad mean? All right. Now, a couple other bits of ugly business I need to get to. Do you have your emergency food kit yet? Just hang on for a second. The headline is this. This is from CNBC. Fed's Waller sees significant rate hike coming this month. Now, hang on. I need to explain. I've been warning you for a while that we are in the early stages of what I believe is going to be a severe, long-lasting economic downturn. Remember, I know they tried to change the definition. We are already in a recession. You are in a recession as we speak. The problem we have now, the dilemma that there's no good solution for, is this. The only way to stop hyperinflation, when you print that much money, you're going to have hyperinflation. The only way to stop it is to jack interest rates up. But jacking interest rates up virtually guarantees there will be deep, long-lasting economic pain. Beyond anything you can foresee, very deep. When they raise interest rates like this, businesses just grind to a halt. That hot jobs market, the hot labor market you've been hearing about, it's about to evaporate like a fart in the wind. It's just going to be gone because the businesses are going to stop hiring. They're going to stop expanding. Less access to easy money is going to cause our already shrinking economy to shrivel up like it just jumped in a cool pool. It's going to be ugly, probably, for some time. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to wake you up. Another headline from today. U.S. household net worth falls over $6 trillion in the second quarter. That's courtesy of Disclosed TV. $6 trillion with a T. Everything around you is shrinking. Everything is shrinking. Understand that that very likely, I shouldn't say very likely, I hope this day never comes, that quite possibly might land at your doorstep. You don't think it can. Man, how many more examples do you need? Remember when cyber hackers shut down an oil pipeline in the East? This is about a year and a half ago, and all of a sudden there were gas lines up and down the East Coast. You think your grocery store is always going to be there? Get a 3-month food kit, please, for everyone in your home. They're selling them $250 off right now. They haven't had a deal like that in 3 years at My Patriot Supply. They've partnered with the show. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. And get a 3-month food kit for each person who lives in your home. I pray to God that the expiration date comes on the food kit, which is 25 years from now, I should mention. This stuff's going to be good for a long time. I hope you write me 25 years from now and say, Jesse, dang it, I never ended up using it. I pray that happens. But man, get one in your home, all right? Prepare with jessekelly.com. All right. Let's move on to something here. We're gonna hold off on the torture of criminals here in just a moment. This kind of stuff is gonna be more and more on people's minds as society degenerates around us, and the economic situation gets worse, and the drug abuse situation gets worse, and people get more poor and more desperate and things like that, and the crimes become more common with the Soros-funded DAs making them more common. It's just people wanting something severe to happen to criminals, that's going to increase. Well, I'll get to that question in a second. I want to get to this, though. Dear Oracle, I like to think I'm a dabbler of history since I was never much of a student. Looking to history, it seems clear America is on the path of ancient Rome. Every form of evil and sedition is embraced within the public forum while we're led by active saboteurs and cowards. And of course, Rome fell, so did most of the civilized world. So did most of civilization worldwide. Question is, given our admittedly ignored federalist system, will we enter an isolated renaissance in some 50 states, or are we doomed to 200 years of darkness like the medieval times? Sincerely, says I can say his name is Chase. Now, I first need to explain what he's talking about. A lot of people, most people don't have a good enough view of history or enough perspective on history to get this. Maybe you're in this boat, and that's fine. There's no judgment here. People think, especially in America, because we have it so wealthy and we've had it so good, people think things like technology and way of life and standard of living and these kinds of things, they think it only goes up the longer mankind is here. It's a normal way of thinking because that's how it's been for you. Look, I'm 41. We had big old fat, heavy, loud computers when I was younger. Then they started getting smaller. Then they started getting smaller and faster. Soon, my dad, I still remember, he was working construction. He had a truck phone. A phone not attached to the wall. It was attached to his truck. And I used to think it was the coolest thing in the world that when it rang and he wasn't in his truck would beep. So he knew he was getting a phone call and he'd have to go over there and answer the phone. Then he gets one for his pocket. Now it was too big at the time. He had to keep it on his belt. You know what I mean? We're used to only technology going one way. So people don't understand. That is not the history of the world. The history of the world is that going up and then down, and then up, and then down. After Rome, wrap your mind around this. Societies, once Rome finally fell, once they killed themselves with all the idiotic things, the endless idiotic things they did, once Rome fell, a century after Rome fell, a century later, people would discover things the Romans had built, and they had no clue even what they were, let alone how a human being was ever able to build such a thing. 100 years after Rome fell. Wrap your mind around that. You think it only goes one way because that's been your experience and that's been my experience. Wrap your mind around it being the year 2122 and somebody looking at your smartphone and saying, what is this genius level phone? How could they ever do this? How is it possible? How could you get so much information in this one little thing? Wait, it even hooks up to the internet? What's the internet? Hold on, there's just all this information? Look, I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. That has happened. That is the norm throughout history. That has happened. That's how it goes when you have these huge world-changing civilizations like us, like we have been. We have changed the world as a country. Rome changed the world as an empire, as a country. When you have these gigantic juggernauts, where the kind of the whole world travels in their wake, and all of a sudden they ruin themselves because they always have to ruin themselves. No one else is ever powerful enough to take them down. Eventually, you know, the barbarians will come for the bones when they're weakened and worth nothing, but eventually they've got to destroy themselves from within, very similar to what we're doing. When those societies go down, the history of the world says the entire planet gets sucked down with them, as if they go down in quicksand and everyone gets sucked down with it. It's a fascinating thing to read about, and I'm not the world's expert on it. I've just done a little reading on it, but it is fascinating to think. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to collapse tomorrow or something like that, but if America was to collapse tomorrow, tomorrow was the end. America went crashing down. You can't see, and I can't see, how that'll kill people in Congo. We don't get it. We don't get it. We don't understand how much of the world is tethered to us and our success. We don't get it. Now, that was kind of the historical point of view when it comes to that. By the way, quick side note on the history thing, as long as I'm geeking out on that again. Look up the Roman aqueduct if you would like a little bit of fascination with how advanced these people were. You've probably seen pictures of it if you don't know what it was. Pictures of, it just looks like a wall with holes in it, these big white pillars. And you're wondering, what is that thing? I don't understand its purpose. Go look up the Roman aqueduct and prepare to be in awe of what ancient people were able to do without the benefit of electricity. It is incredible what Roman society became. And then when they disappeared, the world suffered. Now, will that happen here? I will tell you in just a second.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, we just had a talk, a long little historical talk about Rome post, well, the world post Rome, and how it dragged the whole world down into medieval times, the Dark Ages. And will that happen here when America finally goes? I actually am hopeful that it will not. We don't understand how unique our state system is here. Now, a gigantic country dividing up its country into different regions so it's easier to manage them, there's nothing unique about that. That's normal. Our states, though, have so much infrastructure. They have so much in place. Our states, I believe, if the United States of America comes crumbling down at some point in time, I believe many of our states will join together and be just fine. I mean, you know Texas has its own power grid? We have our own power grid here. Now, granted, we're ruining ours the same way California is ruining theirs, but we do have our own power grid. The states have, I mean, you're at a state level because the federal government was only meant to do a few things. At a state level, you have everything a nation has. Your state, doesn't matter what state you're sitting in right now as you hear the sound of my voice, you have the infrastructure level at a state level that could probably make your state thrive. And beyond that, you have the resources available to you. I talk about this a lot, and it's boring, so I don't spend too much time on it. But we don't understand how resource-rich the country is. There are huge countries out there, China and Russia come to mind, that have all this land. They don't have a fraction of our resources underneath the ground available to them. We're just sitting on pots of gold here. It's not like the money ran out. We just stopped tapping into it. In fact, we started attacking it with these communist monsters. I believe we can be fine. I believe there is a future where we can be fine. Are we going to experience some pain? Yeah, there's no question about that. We can't do anything about that. Well, I take that back. We can fight, try to make it as easy as humanly possible, but I believe we can be fine. I also believe, I want to give credit to the RNC research thing for putting out one of the better montages ever. Remember something. Joe Biden has always been a dishonest jerk. Always. They sold you. They sold suburban housewives that Joe Biden was the nice old man solution to that big meanie McMean face Donald Trump in his tweets. Joe Biden has been a lying jerk his entire career.
When I marched in the civil rights movement, I did not march with a 12-point program. I marched with tens of thousands of others to change attitudes, and we changed attitudes.
He lied to voters, according to the New York Times, quoting aides of Biden's, about having marched in the civil rights movement.
I got involved in the civil rights movement.
I got involved in desegregated movie theaters. They organized voter registration drives.
From the time I got involved as a high school kid in the civil rights movement.
But I was a kid involved in the civil rights movement, desegregating restaurants and movie theaters in my state.
From the time I got involved as a kid in the civil rights movement.
Sit-ins and desegregating restaurants.
And I got involved in the civil rights movement just as a kid.
And that's why I got so deeply involved in my community with the civil rights movement.
When I sat in black churches in the east side of Wilmington getting ready to, and by the way, next to two Jewish rabbis, getting ready to go out and desegregate movie theaters in Delaware.
I come out of the civil rights movement.
I start off in the black churches and we'd go.
Just a heads up, that this goes on for another 45 seconds. Joe Biden was never involved in the civil rights movement. His own staffers have asked him, have begged him throughout his career, please stop telling this easily verifiable lie. This is a lie. Joe Biden tells more gigantic, all politicians lie. He tells more gigantic, easily disprovable whoppers than anyone I've ever seen. And he won't stop. It's got to be. He's got to be a sociopath of some
from
kind.
From there to desegregate movie theaters.
For real, I got involved in the civil rights movement.
From the time I've been 18 years old, I've been involved in causes from the civil rights movement.
Got involved in the civil rights movement and desegregating restaurants, that kind of thing.
Coming out of the civil rights movement and being involved in the Jewish community as a kid in the civil rights movement.
I got involved in the civil rights.
Yeah. It goes on another 30 seconds. Gigantic, easily disprovable lies. It is something to see. All right. Now, let's talk about torture. It's time to lighten. What, Chris? It's fine. Is it torture, Chris? All right, here's the email. Dear Dr. J. Steele, I propose we implement a new detention for criminals. They get placed in a soundproof room with absolutely no light for 30 days. Their food is already packaged and inside, and at no time, for no reason, can any prisoner get out before the 30 days is over. I believe the human mind, when faced with these conditions, will think twice about performing an act that puts them back in. Plus, it saves money. What do you think? I can't decide if my answer to this is going to make me sound like some kind of namby-pamby soft-on-criminal person or make me sound like a violent monster. So let's just begin here at the beginning. 30 days inside of a soundproof room, no light. You would lose your mind. You would lose your mind. You'd be gone as a human being. So let's take someone we hate. Someone fresh in our mind that we hate. Let's deal with that shooter in Memphis. That guy who just live streamed murdering four people, smiling about it, laughing about it as he's carjacking people. We have news today. I'm not going to give out her name. I just don't like doing that. One of the people he murdered was a 28-year-old nurse. He murdered her in front of her daughter and live-streamed all this. It's horrible, right? Okay, so let's take this feral animal. How do we deal with him? Right now, I just brought that up to you. I told you what he did. There's probably not a punishment right now I could suggest that you wouldn't support. I could suggest crucifixion of that human being in the public square. And almost undoubtedly, you're sitting there saying, yes, please, can we do that? Hey, how about today? Can we do that in an hour? I'd like to. Can we torture him first? I would like to pull his fingernails out. That's that level of anger at this kind of evil when it hurts innocent people. It creates that in people. I get that. However, I want to have a moment of pause. All right, let's have a moment of pause. And I'll explain what I mean in just a second. Hang on.
When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head.
All the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to go to a hot air balloon. I kind of want to get in one. Chris, you're such a wuss. I understand it's a wicker basket. Wicker can be very strong unless Joy Behar's sitting in it. It's going to hold up. This headline says, man rescued 2 days.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
After floating 320 kilometers away in a hydrogen balloon. Chris, how many miles is that? Would you look that up, please? These daggone foreigners and their stupid metric system. Give me how many miles it is. I've guessed it's like 200 or something like that. 2 days in a hot air balloon. It happened in China. The guy's name is, I'm not going to be able to say that. Hu Zhangxiaxit? What, Chris? I don't speak Chinese. All right, it's 200, right? I knew it was 200. Anyway, the guy, he was harvesting pine nuts, and the balloon, it starts to rise. His buddy's in the basket with him and jumps out and bails on him, and the guy floats up in the air. And the guy said he was scared of heights and floated so far away. That's hilarious. Look, good news is, bet he's not scared of heights anymore. Bet he's not scared. All right, back to what we were talking about, because people were, with all the shootings and the recent death in the news, deaths, I should say, in Memphis and the Soros-funded prosecutors causing all this stuff, I think people are wanting harsher punishments for criminals. And obviously, I'm fine with that. Letting them in and right out of jail is clearly not a solution, all right? But let's get back to this. Should we lock them in a dark room for 30 days till they lose their mind? Should we pull their fingernails out? Should we draw and quarter them? Maybe burn them alive? What should we do to them? All these things are things you want to do in the wake of a violent crime. You do. You see some horrific school shooting somewhere, and you say, oh, okay, I'm not sure about capital punishment, but can we skin him alive on TV? That's what you say to yourself, and I'm the same way. Please understand I'm the same way. When I see this kind of death and destruction, I get emotional like that too, and I say to myself, gosh, what? Let's hurt him. What if we hurt him so bad, not just as punishment, but that so nobody else will ever consider doing such a thing? Okay? What kind of country do we want to be, though? And hear me out. If you say you want to take like that animal in Memphis and you want to put him through a trial, a speedy trial, and if convicted, you want to go do what they used to do here in the country. Go hang him from the gallows on the courthouse lawn the day he's convicted. And let his body swing there for a day or two. I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that. Do you want to be the country, though, that tears someone's fingernails out? Do you want to be that? I don't think you do. I don't think you do. As angry as you get, as angry as I get, as much as I want to take some guy who hurt a kid and burn him at the stake in the middle of the town and sit there and cheer while he screams, you don't want to be that. You don't. Look, we can fight brutally, aggressively. We can play offense. We can treat criminals with utter contempt, and we should. We can do that without becoming torture country. It is one of the things that has made us look really good over the years. It has made us look really good over the years. I don't think we want to go that route. See? Now I sound like some kind of hippie, Chris. Now I sound like some kind of peace, give peace a chance hippie out here. Jesse, the other day you said you were falling out of love with pizza, yet you never explained. Pizza is proof God loves us. Don't turn your back on God, brother. Says I can play his name. He wants me to play the fart sound for him. His name is Spencer from Commie Controlled Minneapolis. All right. I'm not saying I don't like pizza. I would never say something like that. I've had pizza all three meals of the day multiple times in my life. I'm a pizza freak. I love pizza. Recently, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if I'm just getting older. I don't know what it is. You know what doesn't taste as good to me anymore? Fast food. Got fast food. Doesn't taste as good anymore. And the last three or four pizzas I've gotten, they're okay. Chris, you're looking at me weird. We just ate pizza like 20 minutes ago. And what if we... I know it was subpar, but why do I keep saying this is subpar? This is subpar. Granted, Texans can't make pizza worth a darn. You know I love the food in this state, and the Houston area has incredible food. Pizza, not our specialty down here. You got to go to New York or Jersey or something like that. California actually does a really good pizza, and I realize every place has a spot or two. We have a spot or two, but overall, Texas pizza sucks. It's just wretched, but I'm worried. Look, as soon as I got to pizza number three or four in a row that I wasn't that thrilled with, I started saying to myself, are we growing apart? Maybe we're slowly growing apart. Soon, we're going to be not speaking to each other. We're going to spend so much time apart, we forget each other's names. What, Chris? That's a good point, Chris. I should fill that void up with tacos. That is a great point. Jesse, I always enjoy your history segments. You should consider writing historical books one day. Speaking of which, who are some anti-communist authors and or documentaries you would recommend for those of us interested in learning more history so we can get on your level? Okay. It says I can use his name. His name is Jason. One, I don't have a level. I just love history, so I consume a lot of it. And here's the thing about the list of authors and documentaries. I don't want all this woke history and woke history and woke history. One of the things that has actually opened up my eyes to just how bad the rot is in our cultural system is actually my love of history, because I just consume it ravenously, watching documentaries, downloading. I've downloaded every history podcast there is, and it's amazing how difficult it is to find any kind of a history that isn't slanted now towards, America kind of sucks. Well, yeah, America sucks. Well, white people suck, and America sucks. Well, okay, not just America. Europe sucks, too. In fact, all of Western democracies suck. Yeah, this sucks. Yeah, we suck. It's all, because you can tell, they've all been educated in America's education system, and that's just simply what they're taught. It's just, for them, it's a fact. So they'll study history, but it's always through that lens of just how crappy America is. Gosh, we're extra crappy. Oh, we were really crappy that day. America sucks. I think it's called American History Tellers. I believe it's a podcast. I tried it once. Look that up. Make sure I'm right, Chris. American History Tellers. You know what? I'm going to do this live on the air. It's my show. I can do whatever I want. American History Teller. American. Shoot, I hit a misspell word, Chris. American History Tellers by Wondery. Maybe that's not it. American History. I'll tell you what. I'll look it up because I don't want to indict them out of nothing, but that I do believe that's the one. They have this gigantic history series, a huge history series, if that's the one I'm thinking about. It's the most wretched thing you've ever heard in your life because it's presented. Actually, that is it, Chris. I'm 100% right. That is it. American History Tellers. It is presented as being simply history. It's not listed in the politics section or anything like that. Every single story they tell about American history is slanted. America sucks. America sucks. America sucks. So what does that mean for you in learning more history? I will explain what that means in just a second. I actually ran out of time. You need to go buy some chalk so you don't become a low-T fat body. That's why. Go get a male vitality stack. Natural herbal supplements. It's time to stop going to Big Pharma in the pill mills for all of our needs. It's time to start making sure we can look better and feel better without the use of a doctor. Natural herbal supplements. The boys at Chalk, hardcore anti-communists. You know who's listening to this show right now as I speak to you live? The guys in the Chalk warehouse. They play the show on loudspeaker. That's how hardcore they are there. So you're supporting, you're putting your money where your morals are. Ladies, get a female vitality stack. Watch your energy get better. Watch your focus get better. Lose some belly fat or fat on your rear end or wherever you happen to carry it. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the entire store. They have a huge store. You're not going to believe how much stuff they have. CHOQ.com. Code Jesse. Go now.
Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We are all over the place today. All kinds of history talk. It's been so much fun. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Someone wrote in and asked, hey, how do I get smarter at history? Where do I find this history from people who aren't America haters? It's almost impossible. Here's a couple things I do. One, I read older history books. Like, I World War II books I love. I will rarely read anything that has to do with World War II that was written after 1990, 2000-ish. I prefer them written in the 50s and 60s. I believe you're getting a more accurate version of it, and you can get a very raw version of it before the next historian had to sanitize it, and then the next one had to sanitize it, then the next one had to sanitize it. I prefer older ones. The closer you can get, the older you can get generally, the better when it comes to that stuff. Two, we have to learn how to live in the world we've been given. I know you're frustrated with the times that we're in. I'm frustrated with the times we're in. We look around at all the endless filth out there. And we think to ourselves, why does this have to be this way? Why do movies have to be ruined now? Why does schools have to teach our kids this? Why do doctors suck? Why? Don't bother with that. This is the period of time we've been given. We've been given this period of time on purpose. You're not here by accident. You were actually made specifically for this time. You weren't made to live in 1950. Well, I know we have some older people listening to the show. You were, but you weren't made to live in 1850. You were made to live here in 2022. Part of living here in 2022 is having to dig through things, having to automatically mistrust whatever you're told by whoever tells it to you, and go do your own research. I had a conversation with my sons the other night. It might have been last night or the night before. My son came up to me and said to me, "Hey, Dad, who was the worst president in American history?" And I said, "Well, probably FDR, maybe Barack Obama, but probably FDR. Depends on how you look at it." And one of my sons said, "Oh, yeah, FDR sucks." And I said, "Well, I'm actually surprised your teachers didn't teach you that FDR was wonderful, that he was a great guy and got us out of the Great Depression." And my other son, he said, "Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they taught us." I didn't believe him, though, because I knew I had to question everything. You have to question everything now. There's another example of, I don't want to blow them up. There's a podcast out there called Dictators. It's called Dictators. I forget who puts it on, Wondery or something like that. And I listened to all of them. They did, Stalin, Mao, Hitler, all these guys. And they did one on Francisco Franco, the right-wing dictator who fought the Spanish Civil War and defeated the communists and ushered in a period of unbelievable wealth and productivity and safety in Spain. That's what he did. It's not arguable. Was Franco perfect? No, nobody's perfect, but that's what he did. They did a dictator podcast on Franco. They couldn't possibly have undersold more what the communists were doing in Spain and the atrocities they did, and they couldn't possibly have done more to paint Franco as some Nazi sympathizer who was out there just raping and pillaging the countryside. The communists in Spain would raid the churches and they would crucify the priests on the altar and then gang rape the nuns so they would ensure communist offspring would come from them. They were absolutely, they're very, very similar to all the communists today. They're just monsters. They're little, just little rabid demons. Franco put that down. And they did, I think it was three or four parts podcast, making this guy out to be Adolf Hitler. That's what they tried to make the guy out to be. Now, you don't have to love him. I don't care. That's not at all what he was. What I'm saying is you're going to have to learn, because so much of what we see is rotted and wrong and filthy. If you enjoy history, you're going to have, yes, seek out older stuff. That helps. You're going to have to learn how to consume it while questioning so much of what you're hearing. When they're automatically painting somebody as a bad guy, and you could be very effective if you're good at storytelling of making someone out to be a bad guy, that needs to, instead of just kind of going along and just listening and, oh yeah, that's the bad guy, that's the antagonist, two are the good guys, you need to automatically have a moment of pause whenever they're telling you about the bad guy in the story and ask yourself, I wonder why this communist thinks this guy is the bad guy. Maybe he is, by the way. Maybe he is the bad guy. We'd all agree, like I just brought up Hitler, we'd all agree Hitler's the bad guy, right? But maybe when we're not talking about Hitler and they bring up somebody and they tell you he's the evil monster, he's the bad guy, and this guy's the good guy, maybe you should question if that's actually the case. Because oftentimes it's not. And I know that creates an extra burden, and that sucks. And this is part of why people get frustrated now. There are additional research burdens that you have and I have now. We have to research what we see on the news because it's all lies. You have to research what your doctor tells you. Your doctor might be a system-serving, useless servant. They still offering your child the COVID vaccine? If they are, find a new doctor. Is your dentist still telling you to wear a mask? Your dentist is an idiot. Find a new dentist's office. But that creates an extra level of research we have to do. So what? That's our lot in life. We have to do it now. We have to do it. Look, and there are other guys out there. He mentioned in this thing Brian Kilmeade. O'Reilly's done a bunch of great historical things that he doesn't come at it from a America sucks perspective. Look, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh did some great historical things. If you're looking for history things for your kids, you know Rush Limbaugh? A lot of people forget about this. He did a history series for kids. History series for kids that's obviously wonderful. It's all about America. God rest his soul. I swear we should have. I still can't believe we didn't do a memorial or something like that of some kind. We suck at that. The communists are great at that. We need to be better. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is a great example. They're out there. They're certainly out there. You have to seek them out. But for the most part, when some new big documentary drops on Amazon, and let's say you still have Amazon Prime, and it's a World War I one, and you want to go watch it, go watch it. I'm not discouraging you. Watch it with a very, very skeptical mind, because understand the people who wrote it and produced it, they very likely have the opposite worldview of you. All right. Something else. Got an email this morning telling me, it was from a guy who got shot when he was 22 going to the gas station, and telling me how correct I was about keeping something on you at all times that can help you protect yourself from an evil person. Please understand, when I say at all times, I mean at all times. I have a weapon close to me in my home at all times. How far away is your hero gun from you right now, a non-lethal gun? Are you out for a jog? I know a lot of people listen while they work out. That's fine. Where's your hero gun? Where's your hero arrow? The hero arrow is lighter, in my opinion, a little better for probably jogging and working out because it's lighter and smaller. It has a little better shape. It would slip easily in a pocket, a little satchel of some kind. Right now, as you hear the sound of my voice, maybe you're on a forklift somewhere. If an evil, crazy nut job walks in right now and wants to hurt you, can you stop him? Are you sure you can stop him? What if he's armed? Does not require a concealed carry permit. Anyone can use it. You don't have to be a gun guy or a gun girl. Doesn't matter. It's a non-lethal gun. Go to hero2020.com and use the code Jesse and get one. But don't just get one. I don't even want you to get one if you're not going to keep it on you. Get one and keep it on you at all times. Hero2020.com, code Jesse, all right? State restrictions may apply. All right. Somebody wants to know how to make friends. Someone wants to talk about burgers. Someone wants to talk about his relatives and having Trump derangement system. Man, we've got a lot of work to do. Hang on. Coming down the mountain.
I
don't mind the sun
sometimes. I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.